Welcome to Madlit Musings, the podcast where we dive into the minds of authors, exploring the profound realms of faith, social issues, and the delightful world of entertainment. I'm your host, Jamie Jill Wright, and on this literary journey, you never quite know what you're going to get. Hey there, Madlit enthusiasts. Our podcast is sponsored by the esteemed Baker Publishing Group. Whether you're into heartwarming romance, gripping suspense, or deep dives into matters of faith and society, Baker Publishing Group has it all. With Revell and Bethany House Publishers under their umbrella, they bring you a diverse array of books that will captivate your mind and stir your soul. Check out all of their line at www.bakerbookhouse.com. Hi, everyone. It is Jamie Jill right here at Madlit Musings, and I'm really excited to bring to you tonight, today, this morning, whenever you're listening to the podcast, Angela Carlisle. She's a debut author from Bethany House Publishers. Welcome, Angela.
Thank you, Jamie. I'm really glad to be here.
I'm really glad to have you here. You and I have known each other for quite a while through social media.
Mm-hmm.
And you even knitted me some nice fingerless gloves, which I still use all the time. My hands get so cold in the winter. They're great. I love them.
Yeah, you have the cold winters up there.
Yeah, we do. We do. Wisconsin's fun for that. But now you get to release your debut novel, right? This is the debut. Like, you've never released one before.
Okay. This is my first. Yes, okay. My first.
So it's called Secondary Target, and I've had the pleasure of already reading it. And y'all are in for a ride with this one. It's really good. So I'm excited.
Could I hold it up and be one of those?
You could hold it up, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it'll be mirrored or not, but.
Yeah, no, it looks great.
I actually got copies.
You got your author copies now. That's good.
Yeah, they came last week.
That's nice. Isn't that an exciting moment when you get to open the box?
And I was actually sitting outside when they came, so got to see the delivery.
Super fun. Well, tell us a little bit about Secondary Target. So this is romantic suspense.
Mm-hmm.
Take us there. What's it about?
So Secondary Target is about a young business owner, Karina Roberts, who she's pretty much of a loner. She's had a lot of loss in her life and she is not interested in anymore. So as far as she's concerned, she's got her dad, she's got her dog and her business, and she's good. But then some weird things start happening. Someone attacks her on her way home from work, and then her dad disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't have much choice but to start digging for answers with her recently returned boyfriend, ex-boyfriend.
Yep.
He just got back from military service.
And so thus the adventure begins to find her dad and to stay out of danger and stay alive until the end of the book.
Staying alive is always a good thing.
So have you always written romantic suspense? Like, has that been like kind of your thing throughout your dabbling and writing until you got to this point, or did you try a bunch of different things?
So I've written some like flash fiction and played around in that. Some of it I enjoyed and some of it I'm like, yeah, there's a very good reason I don't write this. but I would not be a great historical writer dystopian. It's fun giving a try.
It is.
But as far as book length, Secondary Target was actually my first novel.
Okay.
So I had played around with writing as a kid, as a teenager, but never enough to count as a first novel because I never got very far. But yeah, Secondary Target's the first book I ever finished.
Okay.
And yeah, they say not to publish your debut, and hopefully that's going to be an okay thing because I'm doing it.
I was going to say, a lot of people usually are like, oh, I've written like 10 or 12 books before I finally got one published. It's kind of a neat blessing, though, that you were able to write one book, get it out there. And what kind of affirmation is that to actually get a contract and get it published?
And it definitely needed lots of work, of course.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it is not the only book I've written, because I wrote an entire other book while I was, working on all the publication process, even getting a publisher interested. So, but that was the first one I wrote. And yeah, so it's exciting, but it's also a kind of a weird feeling too, because I wrote it so long ago, the main part of it.
It's been a long journey with the characters, and now you're having to, remember all of them now that you've already moved on to other stories.
Yeah, and then come across old notes. I'm like, oh, his name used to be that.
Those are the fun little tidbits you can tell all your readers later after they've read the book. Be like, hey,
Yeah.
did you know this? Those are fun behind the scenes that you can find. So what kind of research did you have to do for this book? I mean, there's a lot of action and stuff going on, so.
I did research here and there. I am very much a seat of the pants writer. I love the idea of plotting, but when I try, my brain goes blank, so it doesn't work.
That's fair. That's fair.
But yeah, so I kind of researched as I went. I probably the most fun research was going to a gun range and renting a certain gun to see how it handled and stuff. But also, just the random here and there things like, what's this kind of car like? And, tips for breaking in a window.
I know it's so funny what happens when you start researching and then you realize, I mean, those memes about writers and their search engines are very, very true.
Yes. And with Bryce being just out of the military, I did some research there. And so I started getting army recruiting ads. It's like,
Oh,
no, I don't think you want me. If you want anybody, it is not me.
you haven't been convinced to join the military.
No. And it would be a very short thing if I were, because they would not accept me.
I guess you can live vicariously through your heroes and heroines when you write them as ex-military. That's great. I love it. I
Yeah,
love
it
it.
works.
That's cool.
But no, they were fun characters to write. Like I said, it needed a lot of work, because I knew very, very little when I started writing it. I had it mostly finished before I went to my first writers conference. And of course learned a whole lot there. But in my original version, I actually had scenes where, they were teenagers when they first met and stuff. And it's like way, way in the backstory.
I remember that with some of mine too. Like I'd go to the writers' conference and find out. They're like, don't put all the backstory in. And you're like, well, how else do I explain how they are, where they're at? They have to know. And you just realize that's a whole new art form to learn how to reveal the past while not taking the reader there all the time.
And you do that excellently with your split time. I'm reading one of yours right now, so enjoying
Well,
that.
thank you. That one, I think I get to cheat a little bit though, because I actually do get to go back into the past. Unlike with your novels, you have to really, really unveil it,
Works
create
well for that genre.
it. It does, yes. So secondary target, tell me about the title. What does that insinuate as far as the storyline and the plot?
Trying to think how much I can tell of that
I know that's
without
the hard
revealing
part.
spoilers.
I know. And you may not be able to.
Don't know if I can, actually.
So we'll
Kind of
just
a
say that the
spoiler.
title is actually a big part of the plot. There we go. Okay. That's the hard part when I have guests on the podcast who are suspense writers. And it's not that with romance or historical romance, et cetera, that there's not a plot to it, but they're just with suspense or mystery, there's so much that intertwines. It's hard to know what to actually talk about. You know, it's like, oh, I can't say that. Oh, don't say that. Well, no. Did you tackle any themes or any struggles that the characters themselves were going through from a spiritual aspect?
Yes, I mentioned before that Karina's become very much of a loner, because of loss that she's experienced. And she also has had that same detachment from her faith. She used to be a very strong Christian, very passionate about her faith. And then she had had loss in her childhood, still hung on to her faith, but then she got hit with that, one more blow, and
Yeah.
just it really shattered her in a lot of ways. And while she never quit believing in God, and she would say she still had faith, she internally she believed that God left her, and maybe it was just for the best to leave it as it was. So part of the story is her finding her faith again and realizing that God can be trusted to walk through those hard places with you. Doesn't mean we're not going to face them. We all
Right.
do.
Darn.
But no matter if we feel like we're facing them alone or not, if we know Jesus, we're not
Right.
alone.
Right. Well, and that probably is a double whammy for her then when her father disappears, or a triple whammy at that point, because that's probably another element of loss. So how do you think, as believers, when we are going through tough times like that, and we feel like it's just, there, it's one thing to go through one loss or one big trial, but then when they keep racking up, and it's like you have your bookshelf of trials that you're logging. How do you think, as a believer, we can incorporate our faith and draw close to the Lord so that we don't feel abandoned?
I think one of the important things is not to trust our emotions too much, because they're going to be all over the place when we're in a hard trial. Or I've talked about this or wrote about it some, but you might be like me, and when a whole bunch of stuff hits you at once, instead of your emotions being all over the place, they just kind of close up. I more have the freeze response to things. So if everybody around me is freaking out, I'm going to be the calmest person in the room. It's just de-escalate. And so sometimes for me, I've been in the place where Karina was of, I can't feel God. He's just, is he like, I know he's there, but I don't feel him. And one of the keys that for me was, staying in scripture, even if it's just a few minutes a day, something, and just sometimes taking a pause and realizing, yeah, my emotions aren't responding right now, and things are hard, things aren't going to stay like they are right now. And even, people facing chronic illness, which I personally do, that's one of the things I deal with, and other things. Yeah, I know my entire life is not going to be perfect. I'm going to have the ups and downs. I know that. But even at that, I still have the hope because of what God has promised that things will be better one day. No matter what I face here, it will get better.
And what a hope we have to be able to look into the future, into eternity, and know that we're promised a better tomorrow. And the walking through the valley isn't always the end. It's not always the place that you stay. And God has a way of taking you through that. So that's neat that you were able to incorporate that journey into your character's journey. And it sounds like you have some firsthand experience on that too.
Yeah, definitely different scenarios, but sometimes we experience the same things from different places.
Right, different angles, exactly. And I think that's why it's really important too that we don't compare circumstances to each other, because I think we all can relate to the fact of feeling sometimes like God is really far away or things are piling up. And they're always under different circumstances from person to person and family to family, but it doesn't change that reality or that need. So cool. Well, what comes next after Secondary Target? Because we get this book and I'm already greedy for another one. Do we get another one?
We do get another one. I am currently working on book two still, but good bit along in that. Book two will be, if once you read book one, you'll know who I'm talking about. But Bryce's sister Allie will be the heroine of book two. She kind of demanded her own story. Allie's like that. But Allie and then the police officer that you see coming back and forth, Eric Thornton, is the other one.
All
So
right.
just a teaser for that book. Allie believes she has witnessed a murder in progress and that the attacker came after her. But she loses consciousness, and when she comes to, he's gone, the victim's gone, and there's no evidence anything happened.
Oh no, it's the perfect
So,
storm of the missing victim, missing murder scene, missing
yes.
everything, except she has the memories.
The only evidence she has is her memories and some marks on her throat.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait to see how you resolve this one. That's tough too, because I mean, I want to get off on book two because we're just getting into book one, but my brain's going, how do you even solve a murder and how do you prove that that's what you saw? And
Yeah,
fun
so
stuff.
definitely having some fun there.
Good, good. I'm glad. Well, you also have a book signing and a in-person launch party in your area. Is that something that we can mention to people that might be in your area?
Yes, so if you are in Northern Kentucky, I will have a book signing at Logos Christian Bookstore in Alexandria. It will be May 11th from 10 to 1, just walk in, walk out. And I am doing an in-person launch party afterward. That would be something if you're interested in to send me a private message with my author Facebook page or an email to get details on, because I
Great.
have to, figure out food and everything. So I'm
Right.
looking for RSVPs.
RSVPs on that. Yeah. Otherwise, you'd get a little crazy.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. And if readers want to find out more about you, get to know you, and start following your writing journey and becoming rabid fans of Angela Carlisle, where do they go?
So you can find me on Facebook, Angela Carlisle. I can't remember if it's got writer on the end of it on the search, but if you type in Angela Carlisle, you should be able to find it. On Instagram, I am Angela Carlisle Writer. And also you can sign up for my newsletter. My website is my name, angelacarlisle.com, and has a page to sign up for my newsletter there as well. And if you're on my newsletter list, that's a good place to know the news before it goes on social media.
Right. That seems
So,
to be kind of a perk with all authors. Like, get on their newsletters because you find out things before social media. And sometimes you find out things that the authors don't ever put on social media either. So,
Yeah, you get some details. I like to share fun recipes. I call it my stab and slice kitchen corner.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, had my brothers come over and help me at one point. We axed a pumpkin before I made pies. They left a gash in the cutting board, but
Well, yeah, that happens.
you do what you gotta do.
Yeah, definitely. Anything for pumpkin pie, right?
Right, the pies were good. So there's some fun stuff in there, but yeah, those are
Right.
my main places.
Sounds like a plan. So, readers, if you are listening, the book is Secondary Target. It comes out on May 7th. And it is from Bethany House Publishers. You can pre-order it. If you're listening to this before May 7th, and if you're looking at this afterwards, you can pick it up and you're going to want to because it's a great, riveting romantic suspense. If you love Lynette Eason, Colleen Coble, that style, Lynn Blackburn, et cetera, you will definitely want to pick up Angela's book. So thank you, Angela, so much for being on the podcast. We look forward to having you back for book two.
Thank you, Jamie. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for joining Mad Lit Musings, where every conversation is a journey and every book is a new adventure. Subscribe now on your favorite podcast player or check us out on YouTube, and let's explore the fascinating intersection of faith, society, and storytelling together.